Right now, though, we're going to turn our phone line over to Mr. Bill Wirtz. Now, he is the host of a new podcast that is it's very interesting because it's something I think about a lot called The Fun Police. And it's about people in positions of authority or people with money basically launching their own campaigns to tell you what to do with your life. And I think about this a lot because I think about the sugary drink ban that got put in place in New York City years ago by Mayor Bloomberg. And I remember visiting New York City and going out of my way to find a little pizza parlor that still sold drinks that were bigger than 16 ounces. And that was one of the highlights of my trip to New York, was finding a way to quietly violate the sugary drink ban in New York City. So this one kind of resonated when I was approached to see if we wanted to talk to Bill a little bit on the program. How are you, sir?
Thank you for having me. And I agree. I think those rules on sugary drinks are ridiculous.
There's a lot of this, though. This seems to be a lot of what happens in this day and age. Vaping is another big issue out there where people, I mean, literally have something that is an alternative to cigarettes, which I thought we all thought would be a good thing. And they've just about run it into the ground.
And the interesting thing is, actually, Michael Bloomberg is one of the people involved in funding people who try and ban vaping. I mean, arguably, vaping should be the easy one, because this is the thing that people use to quit smoking. But actually, it seems to be as vilified as a lot of the other quote-unquote vices, right? Alcohol, gambling. It's all on the list of people that want to axe all your fun.
Now, what led you to decide, I've got to talk about this on a podcast?
What I thought is that this increasing paternalism, where essentially people conclude, oh, the government knows better than you, and therefore it should be regulated. But it turns out it's not just the principle of the matter. There's a lot of groups out there that have a lot of money, and they influence governments, and they write reports with skewed numbers. And what I really wanted to do is take a look at those people. What are their motivations, and how do they operate, and how do they get the governments to restrict it? Because it's not just that some people in Congress think that they know better. They get data from people who are activists who try and prohibit everything that's fun.
Now, when you say they get data from activists, what are these guys literally just doing research and creating policy papers that say you've got to ban this for this reason?
Well, so in episode one of our series, which launched last week, we talk about Movendi. And Movendi is an anti-alcohol group that dates back 200 years. And in Canada, they managed to convince the government that instead of the regulated amount of drinks that people are recommended to have, which was previously two drinks a day, they managed to convince the government that it should rather be two drinks a week. And they skewed the data in a way that says essentially it gives you a higher chance of having heart disease. And essentially, when you fiddle with the numbers, you eventually get to that number. And what they try to do now is get the government to actually enforce this with policy.
So you're falling back on the old, there are three types of lies, damned lies, and statistics then.
Yeah, very much so. And the funny thing with Movendi is it's not just a modern group. It actually used to be called the International Order of Good Templars. So this is an old temperance group that still tries to ban all alcohol. And this is something we see with gambling, with vaping. It's a lot of these groups. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, by the way, I can understand that some people are concerned, right? I mean, we don't want to have children access to a lot of these products, and that should be regulated. But very often we see concerned groups now making the case for prohibition for everyone, including responsible adults. And I don't think that's the right way to go about it.
Now, Bill, you are a senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center, so you are much more involved in this than I am. You're much more immersed in it. But I was thinking about this very subject a few weeks ago because it kind of hit me out of the blue that we have a situation in our country where there are, you go to the movies and the minimum you can expect a big blockbuster to be is PG-13. There aren't a lot of kids movies are PG-13 now, you know, which is a borderline R. And we didn't have those kinds of movies until we started putting ratings on movies. We've got music stations in our building where all of the songs have to be bleeped throughout the songs because there's so much filthy language in just modern everyday mainstream pop songs. But I don't remember that being the case before we started mandating labels on records in the 80s. So I'm curious, do you feel like some of this prohibition leads to more of that behavior?
Well, that's an interesting question. I haven't looked at that specifically. I mean, it is contradictory in a sense that we want people to have the cleanest possible lifestyle, but then have very unclean language. I think there's a contradiction in that. So people are essentially not smoking, not drinking anymore, but they say they say very unseemly things in songs and so on. I think there's an interesting contradiction in that. Ultimately, my case is always, people should be allowed to do whatever they want to, as long as they don't hurt anyone else. So if you want to enjoy certain music and certain movies, that's up to you. I think there's a responsibility, collective and parental, that we prevent people who are underage from accessing a lot of these things. Mm. What the regulation should be for movies and music, I don't want to get into that too much, because right now, to me, that is not a regulatory threat. What I focus on right now is really the vices and the bad stuff that happens when we implement prohibitions. The U.S. has a rich history of finding out what happens when you ban alcohol. So we don't want to repeat all of that again.
So what do you prescribe as ways to defeat this, ways to combat that kind of thing?
So what we need to do is speak up. And it's not just about the people who consume it, right? If you are somebody who drinks alcohol and you defend it only from that perspective, of course, people will retort and say, well, you're just trying to keep drinking. It's also the people who don't drink. It's also the people who don't gamble, who need to stand up for the rights of others. I think that's very important. Like, we live in a society in which we respect each other's rights as long as we don't bother each other. Sure. And I think that's important to know, that people speak up, they communicate in the media, that they write articles, that they vote for politicians that ultimately don't take the nanny state approach. I think that's very important, because the other side is currently doing that. They are funding, they are out there campaigning to ban everything that you like. And I think it's very important that people speak up.
You know, I opened talking about the sugary drinks, and you mentioned the vaping. What other subjects are you going to be covering on this this podcast, Fun Police?
Yeah, so episode one is the premise, where we really look at the background of prohibitionism. Episode two, we talk a lot about Michael Bloomberg and how he is really funding a lot of these groups. Episode three is a lot about vaping. So how is vaping a harm reduction tool that gets people off smoking, and yet it is so regulated, increasingly regulated, especially in the United States. And then four and five, we also look at gambling and some other examples of nanny state NIMBYism that is out there in the world.
You know, it's funny. I mentioned earlier that trip to New York City, and one of the things that happened in New York years ago was they banned smoking in buildings. And so when you would walk down the sidewalk, it drove my son nuts, because everywhere we went down the sidewalk, people just stood on the side of the sidewalk smoking, which made it a much less pleasant experience for us to walk down the sidewalk than it would be for somebody to sit in their own office by themselves and smoke a cigarette.
Yeah, I mean, that's why it's so strange to me, because cigarette smoke is unpleasant. Vapor from e-cigarettes is much easier for people to stand. And then also, I mean, there's like nicotine pouches now that people just have under their lip, which is, you wouldn't even notice that somebody's consuming nicotine that way. And a lot of those things are being stigmatized. So I think if you know someone who's smoking and it bothers you, recommend them to use an alternative product, not just for your sake, but also for their sake.
Absolutely. But again, it should be their choice and not the government telling you can, you can't, you must, etc.
Absolutely. All products should be considered equal in front of the government. There should be no discrimination towards different things. I think if people want to switch or stop something, it should be their own choice and not the government's.
All right. Bill Wirtz, again, the podcast is called Fun Police. You're a senior policy analyst with the Consumer Choice Center, and we do appreciate you joining us today. One last pitch for people to download that podcast. What would you say to them?
We are dropping them week by week. It's really something different that people through a storytelling mode can find out the background of how prohibitionism develops and keeps, unfortunately, developing. So week by week, you can enjoy this podcast. It's five parts. And please subscribe and click the notification bell so you never miss another episode.
There you go. And it sounds like you'll actually give people some clues, tips, and pointers as to how to recognize this kind of thing as it takes on its next topic. Because, it's always good to kind of be ahead of it.
Exactly. I mean, this keeps there's news that keeps dropping. It's different in different states. I know New York is very nanny statey, and other states are not quite as bad. But this is a creeping movement, and eventually, people, if you don't tune into it now, you'll eventually find yourself that most you know, that most things are about to be outlawed, and we don't want to get there.
Well, so there you go, a little primer on prohibitionism, at the very least, on this podcast, Fun Police. Sounds like it's going to be a great listen. I'm going to check it out today myself, Bill. I appreciate you joining us, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks a bunch. Bill Wirtz, he is a senior policy analyst at the Consumer Choice Center. The podcast is Fun Police. It is available Apple, Spotify, YouTube. Check it out. Turn up.